So the major topic that I wanted to tackle tonight is vegetable soup. Not only vegetable soup, but any kind of meshlakos in general. Meshlakos refers to when you steep or cook a vegetable or maybe a fruit in water, and you extract the flavor that way. And one of the things to keep in mind in doing so, we'll get to this in a moment. There's one other piece of the we have to do first. But one of the things we'll have to remember when we get there is that we learned a little bit back that if you take dates and you squeeze, get the honey out of it or something like that, you make a shahakol, at least according to many, most Rishonim, because we say that that's not called the ikar ha-pri. That's not really the fruit, the primary fruit, whereas here, the Gemara is going to say that meshlakos, you make the bracha of whatever you extracted it from. So that's going to be our major topic tonight. We have to deal with one thing in the Gemara first, and then we will get there. And the source sheet that was sent out, and I may actually share it, I made one modification to it, really was about that topic. So let's begin where we left off in the Gemara. And it's about a shade more than halfway down on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. And if you're, the really good way to, it's Amar Rabbi Zeira. If you look at the Tosos Dibo Maskel Dur Maskin, the second Tosos on the page. So if you go into the Gemara there and you go up about four lines or so in the account, four or five lines, you get to Amar Rabbi Zeira. So it's the second word on the line. The first one on that line is Dizayon. So the Gemara says the following, Amar Rabbi Zeira, ki havinan be Rav Huna, when we were in Rav Huna's house, Amar Lan, he said to us, Hani gargalide de lispa. If you have rashi in the pasos, the turnip heads, parminu prima rava, parminu means to make, to chop it up. The word is found in Masechta Shabbos in the context of Tochein in the seventh parak. So if you chop it up into big pieces, you make a bori pri hadam. Prima zuta, if you chop it up into tiny pieces, shach only abidbar. Why? Rashi says, not contrary to the popular impression, because it loses its form. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, because it's gri usahi. It's not good. It's a lesser form. And Rashi says we're talking about eating it raw. So that's what the Rav Huna had said to them. But b'chi asan l'bei Rav Yehuda, when we got to Rav Yehuda's house, Amar lan idi b'idi bar kredama, it doesn't make a difference. V'hai, now you ask, well, why did we chop it up small? So small v'hai de parminu tvei ki hechi dinam tiktame. That is order that it should taste sweeter. I don't know if it's the exposure to the air is what makes these turnips sweeter, but whatever it is, Rav Yehuda says that both forms are actually considered a fine form of consuming the turnips, and therefore you make a barakah of them either way. Now, Amar Rav Ashi, he avinan bei Rav Kahana, when we were in Rav Kahana's house, Amar Lan, he said to us, Tashila besilka, delomashu bakimcha, bari priha adam. If you have a beet, a stew, tashila beet, I wouldn't say it's a stew, I mean, you cook the beets. I don't want to say borscht, but I don't know what exactly it is. So you cook the beets, and if you don't put a lot of flour in it, then you make a bari peradama, meaning the beets are the ikar, and the flour is the tafel. However, the mashu bakim chatzvei, if you put a lot of flour in, bari mine mazonos, then you make a mazonos, because then the flour becomes the ikar. But then the Gemara says the following, Bahadar Amar, then Rav Kahana, Vashis Rav Kahana changed his mind, said, Idi v'idi bari peradama. Both cases, whether or not you put a little flour or you put a lot of flour, you make a bari peradama. Hai deshadi bekim chatzvei, you know why they put an extra flour? Lidabuke ba'alma abdilei. It's a thickener. It's not there for the flavor of the flour, it's just there as a thickener. So this Gemara is the source of a very important din. Although the whole presentation of the Gemara I find to be exceedingly difficult, and I didn't see the Rishonim comment on it at all. The Maskana of the Gemara is clear that when flour functions as a thickener, as opposed to being there for the taste of the flour itself, you do not make a mezonos on it. If, however, it was there for any flavoring, so then we should employ the principle of Rav and Shmuel, that kol sheyesh bo mechameshes minei dagan, you make a bari minei mezonos. What is very odd about this Gemara, and the Rishonim don't comment, is that I understand the maskana of the Gemara. Maskana makes sense to me. That even if you put a lot of flour in, if it's a thickener, it's not, that's not really an ingredient. It's not an ingredient for flavor, it's an ingredient for texture. And when we talk about the special character of the chameshes minei dagan, of their flour, that's when it's something meant for taste, not just for thickening the thing that you're cooking. But what I don't understand is what was Rav Kahana's original havam? You know, what was he thinking originally? In other words, why did Rav Kahana think that, if it's not a thickener, but there's only a little kemach, why does he think that that is a bori pri adama? What happened to Rav and Shmuel's principle? Does he not agree with Rav and Shmuel? And I didn't see anything to be shown the same thing about this, but it struck me as odd. Again, the maskan of the Gemara is fine. If you say that flour is a thickener, whether it's a little or a lot, so at the end of the day, a thickener is a thickener, there's no barium in zones. But if you're going to say, but what was the havamina? What was for kind of thinking originally? I don't know. Okay. But bottom line is, la halacha, whenever flour is used as a thickener, you don't employ Rav and Shmuel's principle. Fine. Amar Rav Chista, a little medical advice here, the dietary advice. Pashel shel traden yafe v'lei. Traden are, I believe, beets. Aramaic is silka. So, a stew or a cooked beets are yafe v'lei. They're good. I don't have Larry's not here to comment on whether or not, from a cardiovascular perspective, they're good for you, but they're good for the heart. V'tov le'inayim, it's good for the eyes. V'tov she'kein le'inayim, it's good for the digestive system. But Amar Avaye, v'hu de'yasev abetofe, v'aved tuch. That's only if it's sitting on top of the kira, and tuch is an onomatopoeic, or it's not onomatopoeic, it's a sound that brings, it's making some type of sound. I assume it means it's cooked very well. Like, imagine the kettle whistling. All right. So you can file that away in the medical advice, column. It's not really relevant, halacha. I mean, if in fact it's true, probably a tashul trudan is good for you. It's vegetable, so why would it be so bad? But now the Gemara reverts to the discussion of halacha. Amar Papa, shitali, it is obvious to me that maya de silka kisilka, umaya de lisfa kilisfa, that the beet water has the status of beet water, and turnip water has beets, and turnip water has the status of turnips, and maya de chule shalke, kechol lo shalke. And whenever you have vegetables that you cook, it has the, and you steep them, and you extract the flavor into the water, then it has the bracha of the parent food. So,
with it,
yes.
Is that when the vegetables are still floating in the water?
No. That, I think, the one thing that's clear from everybody who discusses this, it means without the vegetables. If the vegetables were still there, then the liquid would probably be considered a tafel for the vegetable, probably, and probably everybody would agree to make hadama on it. Unless it were the kind of vegetable that you generally don't make hadama when you cook, like the Gemara's onions or garlic and leeks from the previous umud. But putting that aside, no, it's, I want to say dafka. I'm saying dafka. It means even though you strained, there are no vegetables in it.
How can you be sure? Maybe they're talking about a case where it's a soup, but instead of starting with the solid part of the soup, you started with the watery part of the soup, and they say when you start with the watery part of the soup, it's like you started with the solid part of the soup, and that's when you make it adama. But if it was separated, then maybe it would be different.
So it's an interesting question. I think that pretty much all of the Rishonim do not assume that way. And in fact, pretty much every Rishonim comments, either explicitly or implicitly, I think, assume that you're dealing only with the liquid. How can you prove that from the Gemara? It's a good question. I mean, again, when the Rishonim, I'll give you an example. Well, probably the next case will prove it. A couple of cases. Let's read the next case in the Gemara. Boy Rapapa, well, before we get to answer that question, Sam, so let me just make my comment. This is where I say humorously, because I wouldn't do it, but really by right, if this is the case, if you have tea, you should make Hadama on it. right? Because tea is essentially this, right? You take some type of a thing that would be a vegetable, hadama by its nature, and now you cook it in, you steep it in the water, and you don't eat the tea. You typically throw the tea out, and you're left with just the water, and that should be considered a meishlachas. You should make hadama. And assuming that the same halacha applies to fruits, and that's an extensive discussion, but in principle it should if you have an analogous fruit. So that's where I say by coffee, you should make ha'etz. For those who do drink coffee, I would not recommend making ha'etz, even though it seems to me meikar din that's really the bracha. And if you're a tea drinker, I would not recommend making hadama, even though meikar din that is the bracha.
Rabbi Weider, you said it's humorous. It is humorous because you can't eat tea leaves and you can't eat really coffee grounds. But you can eat peiros, but you can eat shlokos, part of the shlokos.
Just hold on one second. Sam, you have to accept the premise that I'm laying out, which all the Rishonim assume and the Shulchan Aruch accept, that when the Gemara talks about meshlokos, it means without the end in it.
Originating from a fruit or vegetable that could be eaten, but you can't eat tea leaves, even if it is separate. I'm not worried about it being connected.
So that's even a stronger reason why it should be hadama, because that's the normal way of consuming it.
Yeah.
So that's even a stronger argument for me. But I'm still going to tell you make a shakal on it. But on a clear vegetable broth, you make hadama. That I think is clear.
But maybe, Rabbi, they're on to something that we now know as moderns about the nutritional value of this broth, where all the vitamins and the nutrients have been leached out of the original item and it's now in the broth, and so you're consuming the functional equivalent of the broth if you were to ascribe to it all of the vitamins and minerals that were in the original. Maybe, in other words, maybe they're not so, silly after all for thinking along these lines.
Well, I don't think this, I hope I didn't imply if there's anything silly about this. I don't think you need to go that far, Lenny, meaning you can say that people did this because they liked the taste of vegetable broth. Maybe they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't want the vegetables. They didn't want the texture. We're going to have to talk about some of the details. You don't have to get even into the nutritional question. We understand perfectly why people like a vegetable broth. Right? It has flavor. It's got a lot of flavor in it. So you may be right. It also may have a lot of vitamins. And that's fine. But I don't know if they're thinking in terms of nutrition. I think they're really thinking in terms of taste. When you look at the discussion that we've shown them, and when Tosis and others following Tosis are going to ask the question, how is this different than the honey of dates that the Gemara Daf Plus earlier said that it's not ikar free and you only make a shackle on it. So how is this different? They're thinking in terms of time. They're thinking in terms of flavor. So we're going to look at that. It's one of the issues we're going to try to analyze tonight. I don't think it's the nutritional element as much as the flavor element. So let's read on a little Gemara to address Sam's question. Well, I think it's probably very, very clear. Boy Rav Papa, Maya Bishivta Mai. Sheves is the herb, dill. So apparently they would make dill water. So the question is, what is the function of the sheves in the water? Is lematuke taima ave, is it the flavor of the water? Oh, lavure zuama avile. Now, I don't know what this means actually in the real world. Lavure zuama means just get rid of the filth, get rid of the dregs. As if somehow the dill, I don't know what it does, that it, the Gemara thought maybe it's just to kind of absorb something and then you get rid of the dill. That's probably what absorb. So the Gemara wants to know, was the purpose of the dill to provide flavor, the matuke taimelu, to make a sweet flavor, or is it lavure zuama afilai? Now the assumption of the Gemara is that if the purpose of the dill in the water is to flavor it, then you make hadama on the water. If the purpose is just to absorb something, I don't know what would have been in plain water, to absorb that into the dill, even though it may leave some flavor, then it would be a shahakal. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Hasheves, Mishanasna Tam Bekdeira, Einbo Mishum Trumav Einamitame Tumas Ofen. So the Mishnah, I think it's the Mishnah, says, the Mishnah Nuktan. Mishnah says that once the sheves has flavored the kedera, the pot, the sheves itself is not food anymore, and it's not makabel even tumas ofer. So based upon the formulation of the Mishnah, what's the purpose of Sheves? To be no same tam b'kedeva. Therefore, Sheves is lematuke time. Its purpose is to provide flavor, not to remove, absorb some of the impurities. Now, what I would say to your question earlier, Sam, is that clearly in the Gemara, when you're talking about the dill, they are not consuming. If you can even ask the question of la'avure zuama, then maybe the purpose of the dill was to absorb some of the impurities in the water. If you could even countenance that for a second, you're assuming that you skimmed off the dill and got rid of it. Because what would the point of absorbing the zuama and then eating it be? So that might be why the Rishonim assume pe'echad, as far as I can tell, that you're dealing with the broth alone without the vegetables. Okay. So anyway, if I'm correct or not, if there's some other reason, so that's what the Gemara says. So now, there are two primary questions that three primary questions that we have to address, although two of them are tied together. Number one, how is this different from the honey of Daf Lamed Zayin? Number one, or Daf Lamed Ches. Number two, under what circumstances is this true? That any time you have Meshlachos, it's always a Bore Pri Adama, or are there conditions attached to it? Now, on my own, I wouldn't have really assumed there were, because the Gemara just says, Maya de Kule Shalke, Kishalke Dami. Now, the only question is, what does it mean, Shlachos? Shlachos, on the one hand, means vegetables that are super cooked, yes. On the other hand, does that mean all vegetables that are super cooked, or are there certain kinds of vegetables that are typically shlachos, because they're the ones that are typically cooked that way? And the third question, which is very much tied to the second, is would this apply by fruits as well? Take my coffee for a second, right? Coffee would constitute, coffee is a fruit, tea is a vegetable. I don't mean in botanical terms, but I mean in halachic terms, in terms of Bore Pri Eitz versus Bore Pri Hadam. So what would the status of, you know, let's say, there are examples that I heard him talk about, like a prune, I'm not going to call it a prune broth, but something that they would have soaked or maybe even cooked the prunes in to extract flavor. So I cannot say that I find that particularly appealing, but obviously everybody has their own take on it. So be that as it may, I think when you lived in Eastern Europe and food was generally scarce, you were probably a much less picky eater. Just a generally good principle. Okay. So anyway, so those are the questions. So what would the din be by fruits? So looking at the first question, if you take a look at a very short and unfortunately useful but not useful posos, on Daf Lamed Tesam and Alf, Maya de Silka Kisilka, Tosa says, Mavarach an Allah Bore Pri Adama, Afa Pi She'ein Bo Ela Mayim Sin. Right? Says explicitly, even though there's nothing but the liquid, nothing but the broth, still you make adama. Mitam hayirakos mivarech alein kasher yivarech hayirakos. When you consume the soup, you are consuming the flavor of the irakos, and therefore you make the bracha that you make any irakos. Afal gav damina leel the meteres deo ba'omahu yesh lachali. So even though Tosa says, even though the Gemara earlier on Lamas Hassam and Aleph said that Mepe was when you squeeze it out, it's Zeb Alma, it's not really the pre. Somehow, but here, when you have Meshlachos, where you extract it instead of by squeezing, rather by cooking or steeping, heating, whatever means you use, pickling, whatever means you use to get it out, so here, it does retain the bracha. So what's the difference between this and the honey? So Tosos says, Yesh L'chalik. It's a useful Tosos because Tosos highlights the real problem. It's not a very useful Tosos because Tosos says, you can make a distinction. But it doesn't tell you, how do you make a distinction? What is the difference between them and how would that apply to other circumstances?
Rabbi Weider?
Yes.
Maybe with the juice, all you're getting is the juice. But when you soak the whole fruit, you're getting the juice and what's in the solid part, you're somehow extracting, which was not accessible in the juice, is now being made available in the water by the cooking process. So you get the juice in the water and you get the solid parts being extracted by the water in the water. So you have both.
So I understand that, but let me let me sort of flip this back at you for a second. Imagine that you were to take oranges, and instead of getting fresh squeezed orange juice, you were to cook the oranges in water and then remove all the pulp, all the pieces of the orange. Now think about orange juice. Which would you say has more orange flavor?
Please forgive the pun, but the peel is not very appealing. The orange peel is not edible, so you may be actually tapping the essence of something that's not edible, but if you had a skin...
Let's say you peel the orange. You peel the orange. And I've never tried this, but if you would imagine to peel an orange and then cook that in water, you'd get a fair amount of orange flavor. Would you get as intense orange flavor as you would from the juice?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the case.
If you were to take water, you take a small pot of water, and you cook, we'll peel the orange then. Okay, we'll peel the orange. And now you were to cook it.
Cook what? What's the
orange. The orange, not the peel. Just the orange.
That wouldn't. Who said that's good? You need the peel there also. That's the whole point. You need the whole fruit.
Well, why?
That's the difference. It's the difference between plain juice, separate juice, versus juice plus the peel. That juice plus the peel in water gives you something that you can't get just in juice by itself. It's the peel plus the juice in water gives you something more than juice being squeezed by itself. You're only getting the juice from the peels left behind.
I mean, but you're not getting the peel in the water either.
The zest of the orange is you're getting. You're like extracting the zest is being passed by cooking.
Okay.
It would be left behind if you're just using the juice, then you're missing the zest.
Perhaps that's what ptosis means. Let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. I found the source sheet, so I will actually share it.
I don't have a source sheet.
I know, so I'm going to share my screen. I just have to find where it is. I think this is it. Okay. Can you see my screen? Sam, you can see it? Okay, here we go. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Umayi d'shifta bori pri adama, peirush eisef shenosnim betavshel kidei lahatimo." It's an herb that we put in the stew in order to give it flavor. "V'amayim shelo mevarich bori pri adama, kimo ala eisef atzmo, dekaimel an maya d'chulu shalki k'chulu shalki." So Rabbeinu Yonah, Tamidi Rabbeinu Yonah for the end of the Gemara. So now the Gemara asks, "V'im tomar, v'dubsha d'tamrei, shouldn't the date water be the same as the dates? The toast to Rabbeinu Yonah says, "V'yesh lomar, dehasam ishtanu l'gritimsa." No, that's actually considered a lesser form. Ulafikach mevarchin alayu bracha grua yoser. You reduce the bracha. Aval hacha leiluya ishtani. No, this is considered an improvement. The vegetable broth. Umevarchin alayu borei peri ha'adama. So that's what Rabbeinu Yonah provides something of an explanation, which is that, and this means it's not really, it's not specific. It's not necessarily applicable to all cases of fruit. Because he's saying that when it comes to dates, when you squeeze it out, you get the honey, some of the honey flows out, that's ishtanu l'gritimsa. That's not the preferred form of the date. The preferred form of the date is the date. Whereas, Meishnah goes, that is the preferred form. That's what he says. Now he continues. The ode im tomar b'shecha shel sa'orim amai lo muvachinan alayo b'er priyadamek kamo ala sa'orim atzma. So when you have beer made from barley, why don't you make adam on the beer? Because if, in fact, you're going to argue that it's changed for the better. Right? I mean, I'm not personally a beer drinker, but I think many of you who might enjoy a beer would say that a beer is a much more meshubach form to enjoy barley than chewing on raw barley, than even the barley in the cholent or anything else like that. So that's if you like beer. And historically speaking, lots and lots of people have liked beer. So Rav Yonah says, you'll ask, well, why not make hadama at least on the beer? So v'yesh lomar, and this is really crucial, the lo dami l'mei ashlokos. It's not similar to mei ashlokos. The mei ashlokos derech lechol bahen pas kemo b'shlokos atzma. U'lefikach chashiv lehu kemo ashlokos shadayin lo yatsim yitaras ochol agamra. So it is, you think about what is the function of the broth? The broth is not a drink. It's something you eat with the meal. It's something you eat with the bread. And therefore, it is like the vegetables themselves that you eat with the bread. Aval hashekhar yatsa mitaras ochal legamrei. The shekhar is not something that you eat with the bread. It's not something that's bo lalafe sesapas. It's not a condiment for the bread. It's not even something that you have a bite of bread, you have a bite of that. Barley, the beer is a drink. It's not litzora chapas. Ulefikach yatsa medina harishon ve'en mevarech alav ala shahakol. So this is a very, very different approach, and it really would have ramifications potentially, depending on what your fruit extract is. Clearly, according to the first approach in Rabbeinu Yonah, arguably, orange juice is considered, they manufacture millions of gallons of the stuff in the country. They even have oranges that are designed, that are bred to produce, you know, for the orange juice. They have what they call juice oranges. So according to the first teretz, whether or not it was ishtana ligriyusa versus ishtana iluya, then it would be clear, I think, that orange juice would in fact be bar praise, which in fact almost seems to be the position, maybe it is the position of the Chazonish. Not a common Israel position, but nonetheless. According to the second parrot, however, orange juice is not something you eat with bread. Orange juice is a beverage that you drink. It's much like the beer. And therefore, according to the second approach in Rabbeinu Yonah, so then orange juice should always be a shahat. Because it's not something, it's not the fruit, and it doesn't come to, it's not eaten along with the bread. Then he quotes another possibility. No, you know why we bought by barley, we don't make hadama? By bought by beer? Because there could have been actually, even though it's not ishtanu likriyusa, lots of people drink lots of beer, nonetheless, there's a higher, more elevated form that the barley could have been turned into. Shahayinu yecholim lasos mehem pas. V'yivaruchu aleihem hamotzi. V'achshav al yidei sha'asu mehem shefar. Yesh lahem grios yoser mishar sa'orim. She'enu yecholim lagi lamayla sa'pas la'olam. She'kar yatsu mitarasokhan. The fikach in mevarach amel el shakol. But by barley, once you make it into beer, beer does not become bread anymore. I know there is a beer bread recipe, but that doesn't mean that the beer turns into bread. That just means bread that's flavored with beer. So the beer that you made can no longer achieve its highest state of being, which is bread, and therefore it loses the brach. So the first and third answers share a lot in common. The first and third approaches of Rabbeinu Yonah, let me summarize them. The first approach of Rabbeinu Yonah says that mei shlokos and mei peros, if it's an improvement over what was before, if it's a more meshubach form, then you make hadama, eitz, whichever bracha is appropriate. If, however, it's ligriyusa, which honey is, then you make a shahafal. The second approach is that in order to be considered something that is meishlakos, that you make hadama on, or in some cases perhaps eitz, it has to be something that you eat with the bread. You have vegetables with the bread, fish with the bread, cheese with the bread, and you have vegetable broth with the bread. But beer is a beverage. You don't eat it with the, doesn't come for the bread. And the third approach is going more like the first approach, which is arguing that really it has to do with what form is the meishlakos taking. And if the meishlakos is not, it could be good, at least in the case of barley, but if there is a higher, ultimate higher form, and you're not achieving that through that, then it's reversed to shahakos. So according to both the first and the third answers, there's a possibility that, call it our fruit juice, could in fact be ha'etz. Because if it in fact is not legriusa when you produce the fruit juice, and assuming that there's no higher ultimate form, so then you would make a bar for ha'etz. If you however believe the second approach, which is that it has to be something that comes along with the path, like the vegetable, so the fruit juice, personally the oranges wouldn't come for the bread, and the orange juice is a beverage, so it doesn't, I would forget the oranges. The orange juice is a beverage, it's not an accompaniment to the bread, and therefore you would make a shahar.
How about marmalade? Orange marmalade. Would you put it on bread?
Well, then it's a tafel to the bread, so it's irrelevant. It's lefis of the pas. You don't make a bracha. Okay. We will get, I am very intimately familiar with that because I had the opportunity this past week in the Beis Medrash of Tinek to give two shiurim, one on Pasta Vabakistan, which we've discussed already, and one on what bracha do you make on dessert. But this year is going to have to wait till we get to Daphne Bays. So I'm going to keep you in suspense until then. Okay. So that's the question of how are meishlakos different than honey. So here Rabbeinu Yonah takes three approaches, two which are similar to one another, but not exactly the same. Okay.
Rabbi Dietrich?
Yes. Sam, you're muted. You're still muted, so I don't know if you're asking the question or not.
How come the bread, you said the marmalade is coupled to the bread, how come anything that is malafis is a pas, isn't that coupled to the bread?
Yes, you don't make a bracha on it.
Ah, so if you eat marmalade by itself, with a spoon, you spoon it out of the jar.
So you have to tell me exactly what marmalade is. It has
strawberry, orange preserves. It has pieces of orange. It also has the gel and pieces of orange. I guess that's clear that it'll be ace because the pieces of orange are there.
Yeah, so if
there's such a thing as orange jello, I don't know, grape jello, a jelly, where their pieces are not there, but you see that, forget about the artificial coloring also, but it has the flavor of the fruit in a jelly form. It's the fruit is not there. So jelly, eating the jelly, if you had orange jelly out of the, which is malafis al pas, orange jelly, but there's no pas there and you're just eating it spooning it out of the jar.
What is the goof of the jelly made of? Isn't it just fruits?
No, it's probably gelling agents like guar gum. I don't know.
I don't know the answer.
I don't know gelling agents.
I'm going to pull what the Afronim would say here. I think it's a suffix, so you shouldn't eat it straight out of the jar. You should only have it on bread.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think I understand enough about the metzius of it. So.
Okay. Being difficult, that's all. Okay.
All right. So now I would like to raise the question of under what circumstances do we say that meishlakos? Sam asked the question earlier, are we eating, is there any particulate matter or any vegetables left? My answer is no. But now I want to explore a little further as to under what conditions would we say that there's broth you make hadama on. So the Rambam writes here, I'm going back to the end of the first page. I made a mistake here. The heading of Dina Meshlako should have gone before the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, Yirako shedartam lehishale. If it's normal to cook them, mevarech ha-meshelech shalohem, borei pri ha-adam. So, you make a borei pri ha-adama on the meshelech. Vehu sheshlakon lishtos me-mehen. And that's if the purpose of, in fact, cooking them was to be able to drink the water. Shemei meshlakos, kishlakos b'makom shedartam lishtosan. Now, you have to consider the following. Sometimes we, in my household, we steam broccoli. And then when you steam broccoli, if you put it in a colander and you steam it, what you will see is that the water underneath is colored green from the broccoli. I haven't generally tasted it. I imagine it's going to have some type of a little bit of broccoli flavor in it. But you do not, that you would not make, if you were to drink that broth, you would not make hadam on it. Because people do not steam the broccoli, so they can, I think not normally. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just speaking to my own experience. People do not steam the broccoli in order to get the made broccoli. They steam the broccoli because they want to eat the broccoli. So it's clear from the Rambam, at least, that if your purpose in doing so was just to cook the vegetables, you would not make a hadama on the meshlakos. But by the same token, I don't think, if I scroll down for a second to the Aruch HaShulchan, well, I guess he doesn't say it any differently. I thought he said it differently. So it's clear, I think, in the Rambam's position is that the purpose of doing so has to be for the meshelech. It doesn't mean that you can't also eat the vegetables. That the Rambam doesn't say. But in other words, you might be, you know, sometimes you could do one thing, you know, for example, some people will, you know, make the chicken soup, and they make it with vegetables, but at least in my family, when it's made with vegetables, because some people don't like the vegetables, so you will keep the vegetables in cheesecloth bags, and therefore you can easily remove the vegetables, so you get the flavor of the vegetables in the chicken soup, but you don't get the vegetables themselves. Now, it happens to be in this case, it's a bad example, because since it's chicken soup and that's called basar, you make a shakal on it because that's the ikar. But in theory, if somebody liked the vegetable broth, and some people would have vegetables in their soup and some people don't want it, and so you just keep the vegetables out and you eat them separately, that doesn't take away from, you make hadam on the vegetables and you make hadam on the soup. But if it was our broccoli case where your only purpose was for the broccoli, not for the water, then according to the Rambam, you would not make a borei pri ha-adama on the broccoli water, you would make, if you wanted to drink the broccoli water, you would make a shaha. Now, let's take a look in this vein at the Rashba's comments. Now, if okay. So the Rashba, so the question is, how does this carry over to fruits? The Rambam doesn't say anything about it, but the simple interpretation would be, you ask me, it doesn't actually make any difference. Now, the real purpose is if you were to take fruits and you were to boil them because you wanted the fruit-flavored broth, again, I don't know that people usually do that outside of coffee. But I would think according to the Rambam, you actually would make a borei pri ha'etz if you could find such a fruit. Now, the Rashba writes, "Vanan the Kaimalon, the Maya the Kule Shalke, Kule Shalke." So that the Gemara we just read, that when you cook the vegetable broth or the broth of anything that you cook has the status of the thing that you cooked. So Mimap Kinan Hadar Rabbi Yeshua, the Bar Mehilchasim. Rabbi Yeshua was the one who said that except for olive oil and wine, all meperos are not free. So you're not high for eating them for Orla, etc. So Rashba asks, very much Tosis' question, how is Meshlakos dish different? He says it's not. He says, are we excluding Rabbi Yeshua from the Halacha? And we're going to say that Meshlakos, Rabbi Yeshua would disagree with Meshlakos. And we know we paskin that Meshlakos is like Shlakos. So then it would mean we would ignore Rabbi Yeshua's Tzad. The E,
Liku lahula tamre, if you were to cook the dates, the nafik minayu dubsha, they're official, and you were to extract honey that way, by cooking, nima varachin and ala boy creates, but anybody say make eight? Ella, mashma, the time of kadarshian, the chavin, the lochal, shem trumas, kipis, a paris, levad, yad, bishavin, yad, bishavin, shmami, no, the lochal, shemashke, ella, zea, ba'oma. So, no, it really sounds like that, if there's no truma on fruit juices except for wine and oil, it sounds like the mashke really is only considered a zeya ba'alma, and the same thing is true for chomet sidvanius, a certain kind of vinegar. Now, why is it different than the shlakos? So he writes, for lodanya lamaya deshalke, umaya deshifta, kahanu, bechevon, rova achilasan huaya deshlita. Now, most of the way it's consumed is as a broth, through cooking it. Therefore, meshli kasan kemosan. I said, most of it is done through cooking. Therefore, the byproduct of it is treated the same way. But things that the norm is not to cook them or to squeeze them out to get the juices, but rather to eat them the end as they are. Now, if this is true, if you're reading the Rashbal, to me it's very, very clear. There is a dissenting opinion as to what the Rashbam meant. We'll talk about that. The Lavush, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Lavush, and Amagan Avram, who read the Rashbam away, I don't understand how. But what the Rashbam says is that if you're dealing with something that is tip rov achilasam, is through cooking, then the mei shlikasan has the same status as the thing. But anything that's not normal to either cook or squeeze out, but rather to eat at the end, so there it would be a shahakal. Now, if you ask me, reading the Rashba, so number one, it seems quite clear that if you're dealing with juice oranges, you make eights. Because he says, if it's not normal to cook it or to squeeze it out, it is very, very normal. In fact, it is standard to squeeze out juice oranges. That's the whole point of throwing it. If you were to take this to its logical conclusion, you would say that coffee would be ha'etz, because it is, not only is it rov achilasan, it's almost kol achilasan is that way. And ditto for the tea leaves, it should be very straightforward. The hada kakai al hacha ushar kome peros, la peros, when the Gemara says that meperos do not have the status of pre, it's not talking about peros that are typically cooked. It's only talking about things like apples and like dates, which are normally eaten as they are, not cooked, not squeezed out. Kirimonim va'anav nechayot v'hem. Like pomegranates, and grapes, although grapes are squeezed out. I'm not sure why he's frozen on oven here. I think he meant kerimon and b'chut ta'inim. I wonder if it's a printer's mistake. Umikomakom, shamina meha, we learned from this Gemara, and the Rashba is writing that on our Gemara. He's writing on the Gemara of Atbash. The yain tapuchum b'rimonim, that apple cider and pomegranate cider, or whatever, pomegranate wine, ein mevarachan aleim el shahakim. Okay, the end. Now, so if I were to read the Rashba, I would take as a given that fruit juice is that a fruit soup where, or fruit that you normally cook, that the mei peros would be, you would make a bori praise. Let me go back to my example of the broccoli. According to the Rashba, I think it's very, very clear that the broccoli water, if you choose to consume it, would in fact be a bari kriya dama. Because even though you don't, unlike the Rambam says that it's only if you cook the vegetables for the purposes of the broth. But the broccoli, you don't steam for the purposes of the broccoli water. Is it normal to steam and cook broccoli? Yes, it's normal. But is that why you do the broccoli? No. So according to the Rambam, you would make a shahakal in the broccoli broth. According to the Rashba, you should make a ha'adama. Now, There is one point of tension within the Rashba. You see, on the one hand, the Rashba, why does he say that Meish Lakos and Maya Deshifta, dill water, why does he say that you make Hadam on it? He says because the robe Achila is Ayadei Shlifa. In other words, most of the time that you eat any of those vegetables, you cook them. And you wind up with this liquid. But something that it is not normal to cook or to squeeze out, then the liquid doesn't have the status of its art. Now, the question is, what would happen if you had something that wasn't a robe, but it was very, very common? So something like coffee and tea, it's standard that you actually only do it through shlifa. Like you pretty much can't do it otherwise. But well, let's say you have something that, yesh v'yesh. You know, I don't know, probably broccoli is eaten mostly cooked. But let's say, I don't know if anybody cooks carrots for the water, but let's say somebody like, you know, let's say carrot water became the newest popular thing. It'll be the new weight loss drug. Drink carrot water. Fine. So, but a majority of carrots are eaten raw, not cooked. I don't know if that's true, but I'm guessing it's true. Humor me. So what would the Rashba say there? On the one hand, it's not rov achilas sinagei shlika. On the other hand, it's darker than mishlika. It is normal to cook it. Now, I don't know if this is what is driving the Magen Avraham and the Lavush, but they say that according to the Rashba, you only make a borei pri ha'adama or ha'etz if the purpose when you planted the food was for the mei shlakos of that food. Now, I don't know where they see that in the Rashba, unless their argument is that if rov achilasan is al yedei shlika, then it means that when you plant that fruit or vegetable, its purpose was obviously for extracting the flavor through cooking. I'm not entirely sure. I would have been inclined to read the Rashba as saying that anytime it's normal to cook a fruit or a vegetable, or to squeeze it out. It doesn't have to be the majority usage. As long as it's very common, I would have thought, according to the Rashba, that's sufficient in order to make a Hadam or Eitz or whatever the appropriate bracha is. Okay. Now, one last approach I wanted to show you in terms of understanding the difference between Duvsha, the honey, and the Meish Lakos. And that's the position of the Rush. The Rush here, which is on the screen, in Perek Vav, in our Perek in Simen Yud-Ches, says the following. Umaya de Silka, Umaya de Lifta, Umaya de Shivta, Bore Priyadam, the Kaimalan, Maya de Chule Shalki Kishalki, Umavarchinan Ilav, Alayu Bore Priyadam. Afal Pi, Sam, Sheengbo, Ki im hamarach v'tama peros mevarach alein kemosha mevarach alein rochus atzma. So far, no big chiddush. And now he says, the lo domi leme peros damina leel dezeh v'alba. It's not the same thing as the honey. Why? Lefi shemashke ein lo tam hapri. Because, and Sam, this might be a little, but what you're saying, I'm not sure. He says that the mashke doesn't have the tam of the fruit. Now, the fruit juice is not the tam of the fruit. I'm not really sure. I never really fully understood this. I would have thought that orange juice compared to an orange cooked in water is going to be a more intense flavor of the very same flavor. That's what I would have thought. And now he writes, the efshal sh'im bishel hapri. The nichnas tama peros b'mayim. Not you squeeze the orange out, but you cook the orange, and the tama of the peros enters the water. The Rush says, maybe you make a borei pri eitz. And the Rush probably means you do make a borei pri eitz. Okay. So where does this take us then? So if you were to look in the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Reish Hei, Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Al hamayim shebishlu bahem yirakos, mevarech habracha atzma shemevarech alei rakos atzman, af al pi she'ein bahem elatam hayerek. even though it's just the tam of the erek, not the erek itself. V'hani mili kishabishlam below basar. I will bishlam and basar mevach al shakol. If you take your carrots and your onions and your whatever else you put in the chicken soup and you cook it with the chicken soup, you don't make a barakri adama. You make a shahakol because the tam of the basar is the ikar. Now, when you look at the Shulchan Aruch earlier, though, he writes, Pero shebishlan o shushron o bishlan b'mayim. Af al pisha nichnas tam apri b'mayim, ina mevarech al osan b'mayim ela shahakol. Now, this is actually, in the Beis Yosef, the opinion of the Rashba, which means that it's a little bit misleading. Because if you have fruits that are normally cooked, because they're not edible raw, and they're normally, let's say, cooked, I'm not even going to say for the water, but you use the water, so the Rashba would probably agree that the Meishlokos, that the Meiperos, you make a Bar Yipre Eitzah. Then he quotes the second opinion, Harash Kasav, the Esher Shem Nifnas Tama Pri B'mayim, Mevarach Bar Yipre Adam. Bar Yipre Eitzah. See, the Rush doesn't offer any qualifications. And the Rush is, perhaps, the Rush says he thinks that if you cook fruits in water, as opposed to squeezing the fruit out, the Rush says it's very possible that you do make a Bar Yipre Eitzah. And the Rush doesn't offer any qualifications. It doesn't have to be why, is it normal, is it not normal? The Rush would say that when you cook something in water, the time that comes out is the time of the thing. So if it's vegetables, then you make a Bar Yipre Adama. If it's fruits, you make a bar yipre. It doesn't matter if that's not the typical way of consuming. But according to the Rashba, the Mechaber doesn't spell it out. He makes it sound like you don't make it on fruits. That's not really true. If you look at the Rashba, you don't make it on fruits unless that is the normal way of doing it for the fruits. Okay. So about a little bit of closure here. So the Aruch HaShulchan adopts a position, which I'm not sure we accept. But he says the following. The Kosav Rabbeinu HaBeis Yosef B'Sifbeis, the Mechaber writes in Sifbeis, we read it up here. Halamayim Shebishlu Bayim Yerachos Mevarech HaBracha Asim Shebarech HaYerachos Asim. You make the bracha of the vegetables that you cooked in it. Afal Pisha Eim Bahem El Atamayim. V'hani Mili Kishebishlu Mavasa. Bishlu Mavasa Mevarech HaShachal. Ad Kamashah. But then he says, "Kfar herachnu b'zeh b'simen reish beis min sif lamed beis at sif lamed beis ayin sham shehivenu gimel shitos b'zeh uledina ein levarech al shum marach adama kiim shebishlo litzorech hamashkin d'zehu shitas haramam zal." You have to cook it for the purposes of the mashkin. Uch shebishlo below basar kimavorakan and without meat. Ve'ein lanu l'fi hamachalam shalanu ela bishlo rasom and miborkas ayin sham. I don't know what those are. I somehow think that borscht might be one of those, but I'm not 100% sure. So I'm not sure the Aruch HaShulchan, I mean, it doesn't come up commonly. The Aruch HaShulchan wants to pass it like the Rambam. The Mechaber doesn't quote the Rambam's opinion. The Mechaber quotes two opinions. He quotes it in Simen Reish, fundamentally, in Simen, he doesn't spell out things here in Simen Reish. He just says that if you cook vegetables, you make a Bar Yipre Adama on the broth. Earlier, based upon what he says by fruits, you might come up with two different approaches. One is that if it's normal, the Rashba, even though he doesn't say it that way, if it's normal to cook those fruits, those or vegetables, then you make a Bar Yipre HaAdama on the broth. If it's not, you don't. And according to the Rash, it may not actually matter. But I don't know, if you were to take our example, broccoli. Broccoli is something that you normally, most broccoli, I think, is consumed cooked. So if you were to cook broccoli, clearly according to the Rush, it would seem that you should make a Bar Yipre HaAdama on the broccoli border. But I would argue that even according to the Rashba, you make a Bar Yipre HaAdama on the broccoli border, because neither the Rush or the Rashba require it your primary purpose be for that broth. So I would have thought, according to the Shulchan Aruch, not like the Aruch HaShulchan, that if you're dealing even if you're machmir, to hold like the first opinion, like the Rashba, anytime you're dealing with something that is most of the time cooked, then the Meish Lakos of that will have the din of Shlakos. Okay. So the only thing that that leaves us with is the coffee and tea problem. But I think the coffee and tea problem is won out by Tosis's position that whenever you drink something as a beverage, it is a shahakal. And that actually, as I mentioned, suggested earlier, would cohere with Rabbeinu Yonah's second approach. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his second approach, said that the reason why you don't make a hadama on beer is because it's not something that's eaten with the bread. So if that's the case, in order, if you would accept that approach, and if that's what's going with coffee and tea, then what you would have to say is that in order to, it's not a beverage issue. That's not the issue for Rabbeinu Yonah. It's whether it's like a side dish with the bread, in which case a vegetable broth microbe, you might have soup with the bread. But if, let's say you were to have a fruit soup, let's say you had a delicious fruit soup, a chilled fruit soup, where you didn't have the end of the fruit in there. So according to that second approach from Mayona, I don't think we would say that you make ha'etz on the fruit soup, because it's not something, that would be a dessert. It's not something you have to accompany the bread. That's what I would think. The bottom line is, the bottom line I think is clear. I don't know how we deal with fruit soup, but I don't know. Most fruit soup that I've encountered actually has the fruit in it. But when dealing with something like a vegetable broth, the bracha is a bari priha adama. And when dealing with something like coffee and tea, which is a beverage, so we make a, we have a, I mean, I don't know what the chasanish would have said. If he said it sounds like I'm juice orange juice, the chasanish would help you make ha'etz. But I don't think that's the common minagol. And if it's not, then coffee and tea and I guess orange juice should fall in the same category of a shop. Okay. Any questions before you go?